We'll be with you shortly.
RDI Diamonds, New York. Mick speaking. How can I help you?
Mick Roscoe, Jeff Samuels.
You and I are somewhat on the same page, sir. I was thinking about you last night.
Yeah. I was thinking I hadn't talked to you in a while.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
And I was trying to figure out why that is and what that is all about. And I don't know that that's anything beyond we just haven't had a whole lot of we haven't had a lot of diamond action in the last couple of weeks. It's been very interesting how that ebbs and flows. Like I don't know if it's true with other retailers, but it always feels like we either feast or famine. We've got 9 deals going at the same time.
We were literally having that conversation in this morning's meeting. It was, we're halfway through the month. Where are all the calls? Dead on. And honestly, I mean, between your trip, I've called many a time. I'm usually getting.
Yeah.
I thought I was downshifted to the C generation because, like, you know, Isaac and Megan and what do you call it, Talbot, just, you know, keep me at arm's length from you. So.
Well, you've got my cell phone number, so you do not have to call me.
Oh, I was just being silly
You don't have to call me that way. You can always call me directly. Isaac is doing a great job. He's progressing nicely. Talbot is jury's still out. He's not in the right seat. He's not a good manager, but he's a good salesperson, so we just got to kind of retailer where that goes.
Okay.
What's going on with R&F? Rare and Forever lost a little bit of its gusto or kind of rebuilding? Where are you now mentally with all that? You, not you personally, you the company.
Yeah, that's a good question that I don't have an adamant answer. I don't have the RDI propaganda saying, you know, here's our goal. The message hasn't changed. I just think that they've recognized, they've always said it, that it's not for everybody, but I think they've recognized that it's genuinely not for everybody, so they're not trying to open 400 stores nationwide. That's just my gut. That's just, you know, I see it's more on the, okay, we're partnered with our jewelers, and if they see a clear understanding of where they want to take the direction, then we will assist. We will keep them with, you know, on that bowling alley of, okay, well, you can't advertise it on the website. Like, there's certain things that we want to keep consistent, but other than that, it's, you know, it's the specialty diamond in your store. I don't see national campaigns going out. I do see if you were to say, hey, I'd like to have, and we're beyond this point, but, you know, I'd like to have a Mother's Day ad that I just don't see in our archives. Great. We can push that through, and we can get somebody to create a Mother's Day ad and make it for all accounts.
Yeah. I think that there's definitely some marketing direction we can take it in. And, again, I am more than happy to share. My London De Beers experience was very interesting.
That's what I was told.
Yeah, I'm sure you've spoken to Jim or some of the other people who were there. It was very much a sense of De Beers genuflecting and recognizing that they are not a monolith and can't do this alone. And I'm sorry it took them 115 years to figure that out, but they were very, very frank and open, which I was very surprised to see, quite honestly, that, you know, it wasn't the lipstick on a pig approach. It was the 50% of the engagement rings today are synthetic center stones. and what are we going to do about that? Like, they recognize at the moment that they've got some financial challenges where they just can't argue with people saying they're cheap. Like, it's the only thing that a synthetic does is it's cheap. It's no different from a standpoint of, you know, environmentally better. No, I'm preaching to the choir. I don't have to tell you all this. So they're just very much in a mode of desert diamonds brings out a natural warm color that you know is not lab grown. Was, I thought, the original game plan, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then they present to us the new desert diamond reports that are going to be coming out with all of those stones. And they hand the first one to Isaac. And what is it? A 3-carat Marquise F color VS1.
What?
Exactly.
I know I heard you. That's a what? Like, who made that choice?
Yeah. So then the discussion morphed into, what the fuck is that exactly a desert diamond?
Thank
like,
you, because that was going to be my question.
Yeah. And the answer is they're not really sure yet. Like, they're still figuring it out. As big as they are, as much money as they have, as much money as they have on research, I took a lady outside in the hallway, and I said to her, look, I don't want to say this in front of everybody, but you guys have fucking lost your way. Like, what is up with handing me a desert diamond F color VS1? And she's, like, listening in her very proper British, Eton, graduated accent of, you know, never worked a day in her life kind of mentality. And I said, you know, we're trying to explain to people how these warmer tones make it sure that it's not going to be coming out of a lab-grown synthetic horseshit. And then you break out an FDS1 as a desert diamond.
Well,
I said, I don't know that I can get behind that.
Okay. So if I may.
To which I got no answer. No answer.
So while you were there, was there an answer for what the guidelines for a desert diamond is? I'm not leading you anywhere.
Nope.
I sincerely do
no,
not. Like,
no,
it,
no.
In my brain, I'm
yeah,
like
no.
warmer tones.
Yeah.
You know, it,
yeah,
so
yeah,
it almost
yeah.
it almost makes it, and I'm not saying this in a negative connotation, it almost makes it a little bit more generic. Like, it gives you freedom for interpretation.
Yeah.
If there's browns, if there's yellows,
yeah.
all within the desert, we're all good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So,
how about colorless F? How about a colorless F? How does that work?
So here's the deal. And it's funny because, boy, I have my half-baked ideas with you that some of them I love, and then sometimes 20 minutes after we have it, I go, yeah, I was completely wrong on that one. Yeah, we'll die to live another day.
Yeah, but that's what makes our relationship fun, isn't
yeah, it?
Yeah,
it is.
It's a judgment-free zone.
100%.
Yeah.
So the first thing that I took, and I promise I'm not pointing fingers, I'm saying look at this from my vantage point. So you learn that 50% of diamonds sold right now are synthetic.
Correct.
So if I owned my store, the very first thing I would do is I would pull up the last year or 2 years' worth of diamond sales and find out if we're at 50-50 or if we're leaning more towards lab or if we're leaning more towards natural.
We are 70-30 natural.
Okay. So that tells me with very little, like, I mean, I'm literally walking through with blinders, and I'm not tainted towards natural. I'm just, we both agree that our goal is
right.
to get back towards more natural. So that's
right.
where I go, and I do think we all look for this. We all look for the Enzepic, or the Linzepic, or whatever that the fat-burning thing is called. We're all looking for the keys to the turnkey operation of, let me buy this, and it's going to fix my problems. When the reality is we just all need to do work and work out a little bit more, and we'll all get healthier. So
Yeah, what I said to my crew was 50% of the diamonds sold today are synthetic. So what does that tell you? And they all made poo-poo face, and they all looked like I had just peed in their cornflakes. And I said, that tells me that 50% of them are natural.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we need to be working on, you dumb motherfuckers.
Okay, so let's kind of take away. I don't disagree, and I definitely share the same sentiment. Because I have these customers, not just you. Like, on my plate, I've got guys that, like, they're good with natural. They're totally, like, they're killing it, all right? They did their lab. They figured out the magic. When I say magic sauce, it's honestly the art of the conversation. And I can share with you, like, one of mine recently, they were kind of going down the same path. And I said, so let's role play this really quick. Customer comes in. They say they're getting engaged. What do you say? And they kind of tap dance. I said, can I take a guess? I said, in my best customer service, I would think in a very positive way, oh, my God, that's so lovely. How long you been together? Blah, 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 blah. All right, wonderful. Well, we can definitely help you. What were you thinking, natural or lab? I said, is that kind of how they built up the store?
No,
and they said, well, yeah, why? And I went, because it's the worst fucking question you could possibly ask. I said, but.
Yes, you are right. I will share with you my slide deck that I got from De Beers.
Okay.
The research, you know, they sent out secret shoppers. And 85% of the time, lab is brought up by the salesperson.
Yep. But every
85%.
Every salesperson that I talk to claims, and I don't think they're trying to be purposely deceitful, but we all deceive ourselves, okay? One more cookie is not gonna break me. Yes, it will. Clearly, I'm having a weight issue right now through all my side analogies. So, you know, first you got to, and I actually broaden this out, is I think of, look at when the internet, look at when Blue Nile came up. Oh, my God, every freaking phone call I got is, oh, we're going to get beat by the internet. How are we going to deal with this? Blue Nile's killing us. And it's, no, stop.
The end of the business as we know it.
Deconstruct what you know and then rework it. So same customer comes in and I say, oh, my God, that's so wonderful. Jeff, how long have you been together? Did she give you any ideas? Like, do you have to be all creative on your own, or did she kind of pull up Instagram and say, come home with this or don't come home at all? You know, great. Or, like, whatever the answer is, wonderful. We can be creative. Oh, she gave you an idea. I'd love to see it. Oh, my God, I love that ring. So, I mean, at the end of the day, I mean, I can curate things. I could curate 20 different looks that are very similar. They're all in the same family. The biggest question is going to be, you know, I don't want to show you a $100,000 diamond because that's going to potentially, you know, embarrass you. Or I don't want to show you a $1,000 diamond because that might potentially embarrass you. Can you give me a range of where you'd like to be to create this look? That's it. Now, that's a nice way of asking what the fucking budget is. Number two is, now they go, I'd like to spend around $15,000. You naturally can just assume. Go ahead.
One of my favorite lines to use with people, and I find it to be very helpful, is to look at them and say, tell me what you think about Project Rig. And then I just shut up.
There you go.
And then if I let them talk enough, I'm going to get everything out of them by their voluntarily giving it to me. Rather than, you know, my people haven't learned to shut up. And I think that's one of the biggest problems that we have in our industry is our people are so busy priding themselves on their education. I'm an AGS, GG, AGP, SRS, EIEIO, LGBTQ plus bi, queer, whatever. I don't care about your label. How about just sell me a rig, right? just sell me a ring. I like this idea. She sent me this picture. I was hoping to spend around $8,000 or $9,000 to build this ring, but it looks like I can't with a 3-carat center. Do you know what I mean? They're going to share with you if you just let them.
Yeah, and so I agree with you. That's why we have the 80-20 rule. The 80-20 rule comes into our lives about 80 to 20% of the time that we're dealing with things. We're either on the 80% or the 20%
right.
side. And again, we could put any color lipstick on the pig you'd like, but it breaks down
right.
into a team effort role plays. Because nobody likes them,
right.
and I'll tell you why. Because nobody wants to be embarrassed. Nobody wants to say the wrong thing. No, like, they don't want to
right.
look inferior to their peers. Yet we're all making the same mistakes. And the
right.
the beauty of a role play is you're not jeopardizing anybody's money or customer base based on you screwing up in front of one of your coworkers. But we don't. We get in our own way of, well, I don't want to come in at 9. We open at 10. It only takes us 15 minutes to open the store. Let's just get here at 9:30. We'll get everything set up, and then we'll have 15 minutes to have a cup of coffee before the customers come in. Why don't you come in at
right.
9 and for a half an hour have pre-thought out, okay, here's the what's the subject, and okay, Megan, today you're the salesperson, Isaac, you're the customer, here's your character, go. You know, and
we are very successfully using Jewelry Sales Academy, you
okay.
know, the people from Sissy's Log Cabin in
oh, yeah.
Arkansas.
Yeah.
Yeah, they've got a whole sales module, and they have an AI-driven role-play system that lets people role-play with the computer and themselves with headphones.
Mm-hmm.
They feel a lot better about it because it's just a one-on-one, so they don't feel like they're doing it in front of anybody.
Mm.
But it's really pointing out to them how they can get better at their job. So I think that's the most important thing that training does, is just reminds us that there's more than one way to, you know, skin this cat.
I think there's a lot of benefit to that. I think that if you're telling me that they can get just as much internalized knowledge as they can as opposed to saying the spoken word, I would say that I believe you're mistaken. And I'll give you an example. We are talking...
Well, this is the spoken word.
Okay. Well,
this is you talking to your computer person.
Okay.
Like, there's a cartoon of a person in front of you that is speaking to you. Hi, I'm here to buy a gift.
Okay.
Hi, my name is Rob. Hi, Rob. I'm Jeff.
Okay.
Like, you are really interacting with this person on not a typing in.
Oh, good.
Scenario.
Okay, that's not what I was picking up.
Yeah.
So thank you for correcting me. So that's wonderful. I do think that there is value to doing it in front of your peers as well, though. And I'll tell you why.
Oh, I agree. Yeah,
there's
I agree.
Two reasons that come to my mind. One is when you're looking at that video or the interactive whatever, it's kind of generic to some extent. It doesn't know Mechanicsville, Virginia, which might come to play in your conversations with
right.
your customer, your likes, your dislikes, your biases, your whatever the case may be. And
true, I can see that.
Number two, and I think is more important, is if you and I are working together, I'm your Megan, let's say. If we're
right.
role-playing
right.
and I hear the way that you are going, the path you're going down with a customer, you hear the path I go down with a customer, when a customer comes in and we have to turn over that sale, I think my partner, you in this case, will be more inclined to know where I went so that you can maybe take it into a new direction. I, more importantly, if I'm not connecting with that customer, I go, yeah, Megan's not the person for this customer. I got to get Jeff over here because I know the way Jeff does it. So now you're talking a closer-knit team. I'll go one further for you is once you get that connection with your team and they can get out of their own way of would you like lab-grown or natural, whatever your Achilles heel is right now.
Right.
Now what you need to be doing, in my opinion, is you need to go out next layer is you need to have meeting, you have to have conference calls with your group, I forgot what you guys call your group.
Curators.
Oh, is that
curators or my team, Old Dominion.
Old Dominion. Okay, so you get in with Old Dominion, you get all them people on the same page as far as you need to be working on these things, and then when we have our meeting quarterly or whatever, now we, as a group of owners, can talk about where our limitations are because now you and your staff have overcome certain objections where Jim hasn't. And Jim's still in the mud on that one, and you can help Jim, just as Jim's going to be able to help you on something that you guys are stuck in the mud in.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree with all of the above as far as the sentiment goes and what we got to do. I'm still getting the, he was in here looking for a pair of $250 gold hoops. And I look at them and I say, no, he wasn't. He was here for a gift. And let's figure out what the gift was. Do you know what I mean? I got to get them basics. It always comes back to everybody's trying to find new ways to reinvent the wheel because they're bored or because for whatever reason they just don't want to participate in, you know, the same old, everybody walking in the door needs to try something on if it's $1,000 or more, period, the end. Like try shit on. Back to basics.
I was going to say, you know why there's no such thing as advanced sales skills? It's because the basics are the key. You can reinterpret the basics anyway. You can't reinterpret a basic if you don't know the basics. If you are not living the basics, then even the basics are new to you, and they're uncomfortable. You have to be so, you know, the example I was going to give was back in the day, Andrew needed to be, had to have me speak in front of, I think there was maybe 300 jewelers at IJO. I had never spoken in front of a crowd that large. And in my head, like he wrote me a nice little intro. All right, it was, you know, 5 minutes worth of conversation. And I read it, and I was like, okay, I can do this. He's like, you need to do this. You need to think about this over the weekend and practice because Monday you're going to do it in front of everybody in the office. No problem. I read it a couple times. I knew it. I got in there, oh, my God, I was basically drooling on myself. I couldn't do this. I mean, it was god-awful. Everybody leaves.
Right.
He goes, you're going to do it tomorrow. Keep studying. And he did it to me all week. By Friday, I had that script down so well that he literally instructed everybody to heckle me as I was giving my I was doing the introduction. But because he made it over and over and over again, I had internalized it. I could address you because you just said you didn't like my tie. I could say, you know, whatever, well, your wife did, you know, like as a goof, and then go right back into my speech. Like I never missed a beat. Like I was just thinking off the top of my head. It was all scripted, though.
Yeah.
Not the sideline parts.
It is. Right. It's just the learning. It's, you know, when Tiger Woods was a kid, Earl Woods would take him out to play golf and would give him all kinds of music and distractions and, you know, just all kinds of shit and said to him, you need to be able to concentrate. You need to know how to do this so well that nothing distracts you. Nothing throws you off your game. And I think that's true of all of us and all of what we do. And I think that we've just gotten away from it. You know, we keep looking at each other saying, oh, the economy, oh, the war, oh, the this, oh, people are still going to have birthdays. People are still going to have anniversaries.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to us to figure out the best way to make that work.
100%. I mean, look at, I mean, we could talk all day about stuff like this. You know, I mean, one of the worst things I hear is, oh, it's an election year. I mean, unless you're within the Beltway, where it's problematic for probably most of the people in that, you know, within that Beltway, I never heard anybody say, oh, honey, I love you more than life itself, but, you know, we got to figure out who the governor's going to be, or we got to figure out who the president's going to be before I pop the question. I didn't even need money. As long as I had enough credit cards and I could split the payments, I was going to do it. All right, people they're not that self what's the word I'm looking for?
Discipline.
Thank you. Nobody likes to spend the money. Everyone likes to buy something though.
Right. Exactly. And nobody, you know, the thing you learn being a good salesperson is you learn the difference between a real comment and noise. And when a customer says, oh, my God, that's a lot of money, that doesn't mean go to something else. That means have them understand why it's a lot of money.
Yeah.
And that, again, it's all basics.
We could talk about this all day. Let's go back to your original question, because I actually think that there's a tie-in here. So this isn't even a well thought out idea. So right now my bigger concern is that you guys are 70% lab, 30% natural, which makes it a 5% self.
No, the other way.
Sorry. Oh wait, so you're 70% natural?
Yes.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize
that. 70% natural, 30% lab.
Thank you. I did not hear it that way. So I thought that was your bigger problem right now. I apologize.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. My problem is I want the 50% natural sales and don't give a shit about the 50% synthetics. First of all, we've changed everything in the store. We only refer to them as synthetics now. We do not use the term lab-grown. Lab-grown feels too nice. Lab-grown feels too clean, too sterile, too precise.
It gives it prestige.
None of that is true.
If you think about it.
Yeah, synthetic.
Yep.
Synthetic. We remind them every day, synthetic.
Yep. Which?
They're not real diamonds.
I would do that with I was actually thinking about that. I was like, you know, think about this. A customer comes in and goes, oh, I'm looking for a sapphire ring. My wife's birthday is in September. Has anybody ever said in your store, oh, okay, were you thinking natural or lab grown?
Right,
no.
Chatham? You want a Chatham sapphire?
It's never been given as an option. I'm also wondering, and again, this is just Mick thinking outside the box right now. Sam has a really, to me, it's a very interesting display. Think of it kind of like a three. No, I don't even want to do that. Basically, it's a stair step, five stairs. Okay, first stair has three diamonds. That, you know, and I've got one in my Google Docs. Give me just 2 seconds. Okay, so there's, you know, first tier is $4,000 to $4,999. Then there's three diamonds. And then the next
He's built a tiered unit with price points as your dividers.
Correct. All right. And it, just so you know, I'm out of them right now. All right. It's actually for part of what we call a select program, which I can get you once I get the display, if you like this thought, we might be able
I'm already in the case like that.
Okay.
We already divide our case into price points. So, like, we're a step ahead of that in that regard. We have our, first of all, everything that's in my showcase is now set. I do not have loose stones in the case any longer. I feel like people don't have the imagination. When we put one in a little loose diamond holder that looks like a ring and hand it to them, they go, it's so tall. It's like, you fucker, this is just to hold the stone for you to look over your hand. I'm not actually going to build you. Like, I'd love to one day build a real 14-karat ring that looks like that squeezy stone holder. You know, really set the stone up real high.
Yes. That'd be awesome.
But just fix it so it actually really holds like a – that's what you use a lab-grown carrot for. That's where I'm going to put my 1-carat lab-grown.
There you go.
In my
Nobody wants ring. This.
Right, my goof ring.
Basically what he did was he created a size and quality differential. So I'm staring at one that I just did for one of my clients. So in his – it's
that I'd be interested in seeing.
It's like – it really isn't that hard. I mean, honestly, for the very first – in. Really what it did was it really opened up their idea. I mean, if you send me all your loose diamonds, regardless of – I just need to know cost. I need to know size. This only works as one shape, though. It's got to all be rounds. So it's rounds.
Right.
I need to know what you own at cost, what your markup is. Or even if you don't want to, like, share,
right.
You know, whatever, just whatever the markup is. And,
I don't care.
So, like I said, I'm looking at this one. He's got a 92-point FSI 1 that sells for $46.50. He's got a 101.
Yeah.
He's got a 101 FSI 2 for $54.42, so a little bit smaller. Just less quality, and then he's got a 150 LSI2, but they're all in the same price range. Instead of getting on your soapbox of, I know so much about diamonds, let me tell you why you need colorless, you say, once you've broken it down and say, okay, you've got about $2,000 in a mounting, that's going to leave about $4,000 to $5,000 for a diamond, let me show you some samples of what I have that are going to be within that price range, and you pull out those three at the
right.
same time, boom. Now they get to see small, big, bigger, biggest with a fluctuation
right.
in quality, and then they pick out of that. It simplifies everything.
Right.
Where
yeah. There's a guy, Big, you know,
Abe.
What's his fucking name?
Abe Sherman.
Sherman. Right.
Just talking about him today.
So what he'll do is he'll go through your inventory. Oh, I gotta help a customer. I'll call you right back.
Okay,
let me call you back.